Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio. Here till 5, Steve Grzanich at 5, Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And that, of course, is the theme from the television show Seinfeld, which is one of my favorite TV shows ever. And I've seen every episode multiple times. And I know that many of you have as well. And I came across this Vulture.com, a guy named Larry Fitzmaurice. Larry Fitzmaurice took all 169 Seinfeld episodes and ranked them from worst to best. So he ranked them from number 169 being the worst and obviously number one being the best. And, you know, he's got some interesting insights into the episodes. But, I don't agree with a lot of what's on the list here. I was just, you know, again, perusing it again. And I don't know. I just want to hear from you guys as well. 312-981-7200. What are your favorite Seinfeld episodes? And your least favorite? What are the worst? What are the best? 312-981-7200. Esmeralda, you watch Seinfeld, right?
Yeah, I was on Fox 32 a lot. Mm-hmm. After or before The Simpsons,
right?
I think when it was just running,
it was yeah.
Every afternoon, yeah. I'd get home from school and it'd be Seinfeld and Simpsons.
Yep, and that was the way it was for a while. And then now TBS shows it constantly. TBS shows it at I want to say 3 episodes in a row, like 5:30, 6, and 6:30. Every day. And then is it my 50? They show it at 10 and 10:30 every evening. Yeah. So they showed it at 10 and 10:30 every evening. And so I watch it I've seen every episode a million times. The reason why Larry Fitzmaurice of vulture.com did this is because now every single episode of Seinfeld is available on Hulu. So if you subscribe to Hulu, you don't have to worry about watching it on TBS or Fox or whatever in the reruns, the syndicated reruns, because it's on Hulu now, every episode. So it says, at long last, you can clear those syndicated Seinfeld episodes off your DVR following years of speculation about when and where the historic comic sitcom will arrive online. It arrives on Hulu. You can stream it on Hulu. But with 169 episodes of Seinfeld in the archive, it's understandable if you're intimidated by the idea of entering the vault without a guide. In the interest of helping novices prioritize and reminding veterans about forgotten jewels, we've ranked every episode in the series from worst to best. The ratings are based on, are less on cultural significance. You'll find many recognizable episodes fairly low on the list, and more on density and quality of jokes, the inclusion of multiple strong narrative arcs, and to a lesser extent, how well the comedy and the stories have aged. That said, even at its worst, even the worst or maybe the fourth worst episode of Seinfeld is better than most of what you'll currently find on network TV. And they arrived at the count of 169 by considering all 2-part and 1-hour-long episodes as single entries. And they also omitted the retrospective stuff, you know, where they did like any clip shows or, you know, like the celebration of the 100th episode. So, and then this is what they came up with, 169 episodes. On the bottom of their list is, in fact, a terrible episode. It's not my least favorite episode, but it's terrible, and it's the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Do you remember the Puerto Rican Day Parade, Esmeralda?
I don't.
It's an episode so racially offensive that NBC had to apologize upon its airing. The second greatest crime that the Puerto Rican Day Parade commits is simply not being funny enough. It's the loosest version of a bottle episode ever to come out of the writer's room. And for all of the bottle episodes in Seinfeld's run, it's the dullest, full stop. Yeah, it's basically, you know, in New York, the Puerto Rican Day Fest ties up traffic entirely and, like, shuts the city down. Like, you can't go anywhere. And the episode is them trying to get their way through the parade and all the wackiness that that ensues. Where they're trying to get around the parade, they're trying to get back. I think they're coming from, they're trying to get to Midtown, or they're trying to get from Midtown to Uptown or something like that, and they can't do it. It's not very funny, but this is in the final season of the show. And unlike this writer, Mr. Fitzmaurice, who includes some very late season episodes high on the list, I think the show hit its stride around season 3 and killed through around season 7. Season 8 was good, but had some shaky stuff in it, some stupid stuff in it. And season 9 was spotty at best, the final season. Spotty at best, including some episodes that are really bad. And that's one of them. So that was the worst one on their list. And then this one to me, number 168, they say the second worst Seinfeld episode is The Outing. Now, The Outing is the episode where a New York college reporter thinks that George and Jerry are gay because of a joke that they played. She eavesdrops on them at Monk's, and then she proceeds to write the story that, and she thinks that George and Jerry are gay. And that's where the whole, not that there's anything wrong with that, comes from. You remember that episode, Esmeralda?
I do not.
You don't remember that? Oh, I love this episode.
I don't think they aired that on Fox.
Oh, no, they did. Trust me, they did. This is one I can't believe it's that low on the list. Like, they would say this is the second worst episode. I think The Outing is very funny. It says, after 4 seasons spent using George's homophobia as a character flaw, the show wholeheartedly embraces gay panic as a plot device to a nonsensical, largely unfunny degree. The phrase, not that there's anything wrong with that, ascends to pop culture permanency after a practical joke played by Elaine causes a college newspaper reporter to mistake George and Jerry as lovers. I think that's a very funny episode. I don't know. I still, to this day, I think it's a very, very funny episode. And, you know, the writer, and I've read all of the commentary on these, and the writer does acknowledge how unlikable the characters are and how unlikable some of the situations are and how the show pushed boundaries of taste. And that was one of the episodes that did that. I thought it was funny. It's certainly not the second worst Seinfeld episode of all time. All right, we got a break here. The news is coming up next, and then we'll get to the phones and talk more Seinfeld. Hi, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in a little bit to tell a joke because it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time on a Monday morning. And hi, everybody. Welcome back to Work Week. And I'm your overnight dude. Weekday mornings, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 a.m. with your opening bell. And Steve Cochran at 6. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Vulture.com, a writer named Larry Fitzmaurice of Vulture, ranked all 169 Seinfeld episodes, every single Seinfeld episode, ranked them from worst to best. And we're talking about Seinfeld. If you want to jump in here, we got the list. If you want to see the full list and the full article, it's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. We're talking about from worst to best, Larry Fitzmaurice of Vulture for the Seinfeld episodes. 312-981-7200. Now, I think the worst episode, which actually ranked way too high on this list. Let me see where it is on this list. For me, the worst episode is the Dealership. It's called The Dealership. It's from the final season, 19. It comes in at number 78 on this list, and that's way too high. Number 78 for this one. Now, this is the one where Jerry is looking to buy a new car, and at this point, Putty, Elaine's boyfriend, is now a car salesman and not just a mechanic. And he goes in because he thinks he's going to get a really good deal because Elaine is dating Putty and Putty's going to give him a good deal. So that's his plot. That's Elaine's plot as well, because she and Putty keep getting into fights and stuff. George goes along to the dealership with him and acts like a lunatic the entire time he's there. And someone took his Twix out of the vending machine. It didn't fall. Someone took his Twix, and he acts like a lunatic the entire episode, like an absolute lunatic. And then the only subplot that kind of works in that episode is Kramer taking a very long test drive with one of the dealers. And they go on a, this crazy sort of Thelma and Louise-ish test drive to see how far they can go without putting gas in the car. And that little subplot is the only thing in it that works. The rest of it is terrible, especially George's behavior in it. And George is my favorite character on the show. I think George Costanza is one of the best characters ever in sitcom history. And it got to the point where as the show progressed, right around a third of the way through season eight, George just turned into a raving lunatic. Now, he wasn't ever stable. George was never stable. He was a pretty evil character. But he never acted like a complete raving, screaming lunatic every time. And the worst George episode ever is The Dealership. And he's my favorite character, so I tend to really love the strong George episodes and really dislike where George is just acting like a maniac, where they just didn't give George anything to do, or they just let him act like a loon. So that's my least favorite, The Dealership from season 9. Esmeralda, have you seen that one?
That one I have seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, because he tries to get him to do the clear coating, right?
Yeah.
Or the underspray.
Undercoating and all that stuff. Yeah. He's trying to get a good deal from Putty. None of that really works, and Putty wants to high-five the whole time. And Jerry doesn't want to high five. And then, Putty, you know, they break up four times in the episode, Elaine and Putty. And by that point, it got really, like, that whole Putty, let's break up, let's get back together thing had been just, like, they just put that through the ringer. And I don't know. And then I don't even, you know, George did the cookie lineup or the candy bar lineup. And they were all Twix. And he's screaming the entire episode. He's just, like, acting like a lunatic the entire episode. So, anyway, that's my least favorite Seinfeld episode. Let's talk to Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, man?
All right. What's up?
Not too much. I'm trying to think, like, episodes. I'm getting more moments in episodes, and every last one of them involved George's dad in one way, shape, or another.
Yeah.
And those are always, to me, were always the funniest. I mean, we're thinking Fusilli Jerry.
Yep.
Where he's at the end, he's just like, One in a million shot.
You know, Frank Costanza is an amazing character. He's
just Ben Stiller, period.
Yeah.
Doing him is just amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And when him and Kramer were putting on the man's ear and the bro, not one word was spoken. They had the music going.
Yeah.
The mom walks in, sees them both. They stop. They all pause. And what does Frank Costanza do? He just, without even listening to beat, not even changing his facial expression, starts doing a little dance.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, hilarious.
It is.
And when he shows up with the Festivus pole.
Yep.
That was that look, and he just gives doors that look and just basically says, embrace your heritage.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But
yeah.
Those were amazing. But that, like I said, I can't think of episodes because all I keep coming back to are those moments. Oh, where he left George home alone. He and the mom, they went out. They went away for a bit, left George home alone. He brought a girl over.
Right.
Forgot to get rid of the condom.
Right.
The way he picks up the condom with his dick sticking out.
Is this a prophylactic ripper?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just some of the best stuff. But, you know, the worst one is whenever they go racial. The cigar store Indian one, where Jerry was dating a Native American girl.
Right.
And he couldn't, you know, anything that involved the word Indian, he couldn't say. And
right.
It went downhill.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the writer mentions that a lot, and one of the things that when I was reading this piece, that I guess I just didn't really notice was how often there were an incredible amount of Chinese or Asian stereotypes on the show. Like, I mean, it was like an incredible amount, and like to the point where I had forgotten, like Ping, the Chinese delivery guy who gets hit by the car.
Okay.
You've got the woman who Jerry was dating named Donna Chang, but she wasn't Chinese. And that was the episode.
I vaguely remember that one. Yeah,
that was the episode where, like, she said it's really getting ridiculous. And I had just forgotten. And then when the Japanese tourists are in town and you know, Kramer puts them in drawers, like in a. In a chest of drawers. It's like,
right.
And in reading this piece, I'm like, oh my God, there really are some relatively weirdly uncomfortable Asian stereotypes in a lot of episodes.
Right. Well, the Chinese restaurant one where they couldn't, they were waiting forever to get the reservation.
That's one of the classic episodes of all time. When, you know, that you know, like kind of illustrates the point that the show is about nothing. And that's the one, that's the episode that everybody goes to. So, all right. Hey, right. Patrick, did you like Phantasm?
Oh, come on, man. I saw that movie in the theater by myself when I was 12. I mean, I haven't seen it 100 times like you have, but I've seen it enough times to absolutely love it.
Yeah.
My wife loves it.
Yeah, what about your kids?
And now, the torch has officially been passed.
That's great. That's
my
great.
My son, he, you know, okay, I'm going to, my son got rude for a second. When you were up on stage doing your intro, he's waiting for the movie. He goes, oh, shut up and start the movie already. I whispered over in his ear, shut your effing mouth and just wait. And, of course, he has a, he's 11.
Yeah.
He has this thing where he shows no emotion whatsoever, and you think he's not enjoying it.
Yeah.
So I thought he hated it. And at the end of the movie, oh, my God, Dad, that's the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, that's cool.
I can't wait to see it again. My oldest, she's 14. She basically goes, I did not get it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. I don't know. He says they were from outer space. So was it a dream? Was it what? I'm like, well, did you like it? She's like, well, yeah, I liked it. I just didn't get it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Well, I mean, you know, I'd be the first to admit the movie makes no sense.
Right.
But it doesn't. No, but it's great. Well, I'm glad you came out. Patrick, I got to hit the weather and traffic, but I'm glad you came out. It was nice to meet you, man.
You too, man. You too. You have a great night.
Okay, you too. Take care. There he goes. Patrick brought his whole family to see Phantasm. 11-year-old son, 14-year-old daughter and wife. Big family outing to see Phantasm. It was great. I love the kid wanted me to shut up. That's hysterical. Just shut up and show the movie. Oh, man. I would have said the same thing if I were sitting there. So, all right. That was fun. Hi. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanch with the opening bell at 5. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke, and it's brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. And we thank George Karzis and everybody at the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet, for sponsoring my dad's joke. Go to Gale Street Inn, Jefferson Park. Great food, great people, great everything. And we thank the Gale Street Inn for that. So the joke will be coming up a little bit later on. Vulture.com. The writer Larry Fitzmaurice put together the list of all the Seinfeld episodes, 169, and he ranked them from worst to best. And we're going through the Seinfeld episodes. What are your favorites? What are your least favorites? I was just telling, my least favorite is the dealership episode where Jerry goes to buy a car and George essentially acts like a screaming lunatic during the entire episode, which is not what makes George funny. And let's see what else. We got Dave on the line. Hey, Dave.
Hi, how's it going,
Good.
Nick?
All right.
I'm going to preface this by saying Seinfeld is my favorite TV show of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite episode is The Opposite.
You and I agree 100%, Dave. I agree with you 100%. The Opposite is the best Seinfeld episode of all time. It comes in on this list at number 3.
I don't have the list in front of me, so I'm happy there that at least it's ranking high.
Oh yeah, and it should rank high. It should rank. It's my favorite of all. Well, why do you like it so much, Dave?
Well, it's kind of like George's crowning moment because he takes the opposite of everything he thinks or does. He does the opposite of.
Right.
And he becomes a completely new man.
Yep.
And then, as we realize by the end of the episode, him and Elaine have essentially exchanged lives.
That's right.
Elaine moaning at the table at Monk's, I'm George. I'm George. And then you have the classic where Jerry, you know, keeps losing stuff, picking stuff up.
Yep.
And Kramer goes, you know who you are, even Stephen.
You're even Stephen. Not only that, because you got Jerry breaking even the whole time. You know, he loses a job, he gets a job, he misses a train, he catches a bus, he breaks even at poker. One friend is up, one friend is down.
Right.
So you got all that, and then you have the fantastic George plot line, which is just...
And
Dave, if you remember, that's also when Kramer was promoting his coffee table book, and he was on Regis and Kathy Lee.
Exactly. That's the next thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
And he ends up spitting the coffee over Regis and
yep.
Kathy.
It's so funny. That's the best. It's the best. It's the best episode ever. I'm telling you.
But I'm telling you, I just want, let's see, a tuna sandwich with a side of potato salad and a cup of tea.
Right. Yeah.
My favorite all-time Seinfeld moment is when Jerry needs the air conditioner. Kramer gets him the Commando 8000.
Yep.
He walks into the apartment, and Jerry and George are standing there. There's a wide-open window. He plops down the air conditioner, lets the Venetian blind, boom, hit the top of it. He turns at him and looks and says, install.
Exactly. It's one of the best. That's exactly right. Just puts the thing on the window ledge, drops the Venetian blind. That is hysterical.
Installed.
Installed. Hysterical. All right, Dave, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah,
take
see
care.
You later.
Bye-bye. Bye.
The Commando 8000. Then, of course, it falls down falls out the window and crushes that guy's dog. Oh, man. All right. Now, Esmeralda, do you have a favorite episode of Seinfeld?
The only one I can think of right now is where Jerry tells that guy to change his restaurant.
Oh, Babu.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He says it should be more of a Pakistani restaurant.
Right. That you should celebrate because it was all over the place and whatever. They kept meeting there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the restaurant ended up being closed. And at one point later on when they brought Babu back, they got him deported.
Poor Babu.
Yeah, that one was like, you know, middle of the list for the restaurant one, because you know they don't like the way they dealt with Babu on it. So number one on their list, and it's one of the best episodes ever, and it would certainly, I think, be in the top five for me, is the contest. And the contest is, of course, the episode where the main characters bet that they can hold off from masturbating, and whoever can for the law. And they never use, by the way, they never use the word masturbate in the entire episode. So that's the premise of it, and it's a beautifully constructed episode, and it really is a perfectly written episode, and it's very, very funny on many, many levels, and it also contains one of the best Kramer moments of all time. One of the greatest Kramer moments of all time, when he comes back after he leaves the apartment, comes back like a minute and a half later, comes back with the money, swoops it down, slaps it on the table, goes, "I'm out." It's one of my favorite Kramer moments of all time. So, Dan, do you have a favorite Seinfeld?
I would probably go the opposite. I mean, I remember vividly watching that, you know, first drawn, and just being like, wow, that was really awesome.
Yeah. And it's just, and again, if you're a George fan, like that's the best, you know, when he meets George Steinbrenner for the first time and then just goes off on him, hire this man. And it also features the late, great Paul Gleason from Breakfast Club. He's the guy who it interviews him for the job. You're the opposite of every applicant that I've seen. Paul Gleason was in that episode. So number two on this list, the second best Seinfeld episode is the subway. That episode is okay. It's the one where all of them are on a subway. And they have to use the subway at some point. So Kramer's won some money at the OTB, and there's guys on the train trying to rob him, and there's an undercover cop on the train. Jerry is stuck on the train with a naked guy, and they end up going to Coney Island together. Elaine is in a crowded train that keeps breaking down. And George, of course, took the train, ended up picking up a woman on the train, and then she handcuffs him to the bed when he's like half naked. He's in just his underwear, and she takes all his money, which was $12, and his only suit. So, it's a funny episode. I don't know if I would put it that high on the list, though.
at number two. I don't think it's the second funniest Seinfeld episode. Number three on this list, of course, is the aforementioned The Opposite. Number four, the fourth best one that they picked was The Fire. And that's the one where George is dating Melanie Chartoff and she's got a kid. And there's a birthday party and Jon Favreau is in it. He plays the clown that they hired. Eric the clown. George, of course, is like, what the hell kind of name is Eric for a clown? And he's hired as Eric the clown. And there is a grease fire in the oven. Then George goes into the kitchen and sees that there's like a fire, starts screaming and then pushing kids out of the way and old ladies. There's actually an old lady with a walker that he shoves down out of the way so that he can get out of the apartment before everybody else. So that's that episode, which is really funny. Really, really funny. All right, we got more here. What are your favorites or least favorite Seinfelds? 312-981-7200. Again, the full article is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. Okay, the news is coming up next. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's it going? It's Monday, and my dad will be calling in to tell a joke to start your work week off with a laugh because it's a jokey time. It's brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn in Jefferson Park. Go say hi to George. Tell him I sent you. That's coming up. And we're now talking about, by the way, it's Steve Grzanich with the opening bell coming up at 5 o'clock. And, of course, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. So stay tuned for all of that right here on 720 WGN. So we're talking about Seinfeld and the best and worst Seinfeld episodes of all time. Vulture.com, a writer at Vulture.com, gathered up the entire, all the episodes, all 169 episodes of Seinfeld, and ranked them from worst to best. And we're going down and checking some of them out here because they're all available on Hulu now. So how about this one, Esmeralda? You remember the Hamptons, where they go up to the Hamptons for the weekend?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's number five on this list.
Is that the one with the baby?
Yeah.
You have to see the baby.
Is that not the ugliest baby you've ever seen? I like it when Kramer sees the baby for the first time. a terrible double take. No, that's a great one because it's got Melora Walters from Magnolia. She played Claudia from Magnolia. You've seen Magnolia, right?
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
Claudia's like the main girl, the girl who's like really, really sad. You know,
aren't they all really sad?
Yeah, they are. But she's like the soul of the movie. She's the heart and soul of the film.
Oh, okay.
So Melora Walters plays George's girlfriend, who goes up to the Hamptons with him, and while he's away getting tomatoes, she's topless.
That's right.
And everybody gets to see her topless except for George.
Yeah.
It's also that shrinkage is in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the pool. It's a great episode. Number five. That's one of the best episodes. I would agree with that on the list. How about this one? The Pen. It's the only episode that doesn't feature George. So right there, it shouldn't be this high on the list.
Is that with the space?
Yeah.
The space pen?
That's where Elaine is on. She's on, like, meds, and she's really messed up at the party. Like, she's going, Stella! She's doing.
Yeah, what?
Marlon
Why
Brando.
Did she? Oh, is it because she had the back pain?
She slept on the hide-a-bed with the bar.
Yeah.
And so, back pain. I'm going through that right now, as a matter of fact. Thanks for bringing it up. I only feel it every time I stand up. So that's number six on the list. This is pretty high for The Rye, where he steals the marble. He steals the marble. Jerry steals the marble rye.
Yes.
Shut up, you old bat! And he steals the marble rye from her.
Yes.
And that's where Kramer has taken care of the horse and carriage for the guy.
Yeah.
And he feeds Rusty the horse, Beefarino.
Mm-hmm. Don't they throw away the rye?
No, they wanted to sneak the rye into the house. Because what happens is George's parents come over and meet Susan's parents. And I want to know who's having sex with the chicken? Where Frank is talking about the game hen. Frank Costanza.
Oh, okay.
And
So it's, of course, a disaster. And they bring the marble rye to the parents' house, you know, like, oh, here's some bread. And but they don't put it out. Like, the parents don't put it out. So Frank takes it back.
That's right.
And so that's why he tells Jerry to go get a marble rye, and they'll, you know, meanwhile, Kramer's going to keep them on the horse and buggy.
Okay, yes.
They can bring the marble rye into the building and put it back where it was.
Right.
And so, but then they come home early because the horse has horrible gas because of the Beefarino. And that's when they try to toss it up. They try to toss the marble rye up to George, who's on, like, the third floor. And instead, they bring a fishing pole.
Yeah. How does the old lady find him?
How does the old lady?
Oh no, that's
she's at the bakery.
No. But I'm thinking of this is in a later episode.
Well, that's when they were at La Boca Vista, and Jerry's dad was going to be going to be ousted because they thought he was funneling money.
Yeah.
Because Jerry bought him a Cadillac, and they were like, "How can you afford a Cadillac?" So he must be taking money. So they had to vote on whether they were going to impeach him, and she was the deciding vote. And she was not going to vote to impeach until she realized that Jerry was the guy who stole the marble rye.
Yeah.
And they brought her back like they brought everybody back for the finale.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that was a good episode. One of the good later episodes. Here's one of my favorites. Number 8 on the list is The Old Man. That's where they all volunteer to work with older people, to keep them company and take them out. And Jerry's old man is really mean.
I don't remember that.
Oh, God, it's so funny.
Seems so uncharacteristic of them to want to take care of old people.
But that's what's so brilliant about one of the great things about the episode is that they're like, you know, maybe we should try this. And and they just fail so miserably. Like for George, he goes to meet his guy to, you know, have some coffee and talk to him, and he's 85. And George is just like, I can't believe you're so close to death and you're not upset. And the guy fires him. The old man's like, shut up, and pushes him away and leaves. So George lasts like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, the old guy that Jerry gets, just screams at him the whole time. You're an idiot. And then Elaine has an old woman who's got a giant goiter on her neck.
Oh, gosh.
And dated Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then.
Here's what they say about it. For one episode, Jerry, Elaine, and George have the exact same job. Volunteer work caring for the elderly, but Elaine is the only one who takes it seriously, and she acquires some game-changing wisdom in the process. While Jerry exploits his elderly charge and George outstandingly gets fired from a volunteer job, it's a brilliant narrative, and its conceits bring out the worst in everyone. And also, you know, that would also have the subplot where the old guy was sitting on a bunch of really great old records. And so Kramer and Newman, their scheme, because they always had, you know, a scheme.
Right.
Was to exchange old records for money. So when Jerry saw that the old guy had a whole bunch of records, he brings Newman and Kramer over to the old guy's house, and they just start taking his records.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Now, was there a show that you watched? Is there a show that you watched? Because I can watch any episode of Seinfeld anytime, over and over again. Do you have any shows like that you could watch over and over and over and over again?
Simpsons.
Yeah.
For sure.
What's your favorite Simpsons episode? Do you have a favorite Simpsons episode?
The Simpsons stories.
The Simpsons stories.
So the episode where they have all the different stories, it's a la Pulp Fiction.
Oh, 22 short films about Springfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has some of my favorites. It has the steamed hams.
Steamed hams, Aurora Borealis.
Yes.
Yep.
It has the Apu goes to the pool party.
Well, that's fantastic. But that anytime Chalmers is in, it's funny.
Right.
Always funny. Yeah. Skinner and Chalmers always, and that's the funniest they ever were together.
Yeah.
But it's always funny when Chalmers shows up. Always. And but yeah, the pool party. It also has the really large man in the very small car.
Yes, these are all things that I quote probably on a daily basis.
He makes Nelson walk down the street with his pants down.
Blow kisses at them. Look, it's that boy who laughs at everybody. Like
you know how that was written, right?
No.
It was 22 separate writers. And if you watch the episode, the credit for the writing credit is like, it's like every writer. And they did it. You ever play that game where, like, you write a story and then you, like, fold the page down and only, like, the last sentence, you give it to the next person and they can only read the last sentence and they have to pick up the story from there?
I've heard of that.
Do you know what I mean? Like someone writes a story, you pick it up from there, and it goes in a completely different direction, and then somebody else picks it up just by reading the last sentence of what you wrote, and they write it, and so on and so on. And that's what they did with that episode. That's how they wrote it. That's why it's so weird.
Yeah.
And there was a movie called 22 Short Films About 22 Short Films About Something, which was a weird sort of independent movie. That was written, you know, like, and it wasn't written like that, but it was 22 different filmmakers made short films and they put them all together. And that was the inspiration for the title of that episode.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
And there's a great Pulp Fiction bit in there.
There is, yeah. It used to be a pet store.
Yeah. Fantastic. Now, but there was a time, and I've, you know, by the way, you know that FXX is showing all 600 Simpsons episodes.
Right. Didn't they do that in the beginning?
13 days, yeah. 13 days straight. It's just nothing but Simpsons 24/7, starting at the beginning. 600 episodes in 13 days. But when they when they get to 92 through 97, I won't leave the house.
Yeah.
Because that's the stretch where there was nothing even remotely close to being better on TV than The Simpsons. That whole stretch, and that's like right in the one that you love is right in the middle of that, right in that wheelhouse. Now, you know my favorite. It's Dan. It's Dan's least favorite. My favorite is Homer's Enemy with Frank Grimes.
Oh, right, Grimy.
Grimy, and they didn't do the. When are they doing the Treehouse of Horror? Is that after the World Series?
I would imagine they've pushed it past the Treehouse.
You know they're bringing
years.
Grimy back.
I did see that.
He's he's coming back as a ghost. Grimy's coming back as a ghost.
Oh boy!
I can't wait. And Dan hates that episode. We've talked about that before. What's your favorite Simpsons?
Teacher Strike. The line about the little girl who refers to her teacher as Mrs. Pommelhorse, which is a great name for a gym teacher, but she's stuck on the rings, and she's Mrs. Pommelhorse.
Right.
I'd like to get down.
And
now.
She's hanging.
She's hanging there. So I remember rewinding that with my brother several times just to hear that line.
Yeah, God, there were so many great episodes of The Simpsons. So many. I know another one of my favorites is we've talked about this before. Marge's Fear of Flying.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Way up there on my list of favorites, man. So hilarious. All right, we'll finish up some Seinfeld talk and other stuff. If you want to text in or call in, please do. And by the way, the entire list of the 169 Seinfeld episodes ranked by Larry Fitzmaurice of Vulture, the whole thing with his explanation and criticism of the episodes is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. All right, here's Jerry on WGN. Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, where was the soup Nazi? I wondered why you hadn't mentioned it.
The soup Nazi is way low on the list, and I don't agree with that at all. 143, the soup Nazi.
What, you think it should be higher also?
Oh, yeah. The soup Nazi is hilarious. That episode is hysterical.
It may be one of the most famous episodes when you mention soup Nazi. Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. But like here's what he says about it. One of the many episodes where cultural resonance overshadows the episode's just okay comedic material. George's annoyance at Jerry and his girlfriend calling each other schmoopy is funny, but Elaine and Kramer's subplot just sits there. Like the armoire that they're trying to move into the apartment. I totally disagree with that.
Me too.
Yeah, I think that episode is hilarious. I really do.
It's one of the more famous, it's one of the most famous episodes.
Yeah, I agree. All right, thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Was that Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, he calls in.
I want to know where the soup Nazi is. That's a funny episode, man. Funny episode.
I don't remember anything about it except the soup bit.
The you don't remember where the two street toughs steal the Anwar?
No. I just remember Elaine going in and then she gets banned.
Yeah. And George gets kicked out, too.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
The first time. But Elaine, yeah, Elaine gets banned because she's banging on the thing. And
yeah, cause she's like, oh, what's
is that? Is that lima bean? Yeah, not a fan.
I like her. I like her because of that.
Elaine's great. Elaine rules, man.
Oh, and she shoves people.
Oh, yeah. Get out!
The best
shoving and get out is in that episode.
Oh, okay.
Because he tells her where he got the Anwar from, and he got it from the soup Nazi. And she says, get out! And she shoves him through the kitchen door, and he goes flying. I also like Michael Richards got to do like physical humor.
Yeah.
Always funny. One of the best ever. Well, first of all, his entrances when he would enter the apartment were classic. But when he would have a reaction to Mary Hart's voice. Do you remember that episode?
No.
Where he would remember this? He would have a seizure every time Mary Hart spoke.
Oh, jeez.
And so, he's in the because he comes into the apartment. He's got a big bandage on his head. Mm. And Elaine's like, what happened? He goes, I don't know. I was watching Entertainment Tonight. Next thing you know, I banged my head on the coffee table. And then a little bit later in the episode, Jerry and Elaine are watching Entertainment Tonight. Mm-hmm. And Kramer comes in to return a videotape that he borrowed. And he just says hi. And he's behind the couch. They don't see him. They're watching the TV. And he's behind the couch. He's about to put the VHS back onto the shelf. And all of a sudden, Mary Hart's voice starts. And he goes into this convulsion, this insane convulsion. And where he's like falling all over the place. And they're like, what's wrong with you? And that's when they figure out it's Mary Hart's voice.
Okay.
That sends him into convulsions.
Where's the one with the calzones?
The calzone? Calzone is also not.
Do enjoy that.
That's a great one. That one's actually higher than some of the other classic ones that they kept pretty low. But I can't find it right now.
Are the ones with Poppy?
Poppy does not wash his hands.
And the couch.
The bubble boy comes in at number 20.
Ah, yes.
Yep. The gymnast. That's where Jerry's dating a gymnast and. Kramer waiting to pass a kidney stone.
I vaguely remember that.
By the way, Calzone is number 97 on the list.
Ah, okay.
Calzone is number 97 on the list. How about the episode where they kill off Susan?
Right.
I mean, that is one of the ending of that episode is one of the darkest endings ever. And one of the reasons why she got killed off is because Jason Alexander hated working with her. So but he was the only one who ever really had any scenes with her. She only had like bit parts. But then there was the episode where they all start hanging out with Susan, and afterwards Jerry Seinfeld and Julia Louis-Dreyfus were like, I don't know how George works with this woman. So Larry David killed her off.
I mean, any scenes with them were painful to watch.
Oh, yeah. Susan. Susan was. I loved Susan. I thought she was a great character. I really did.
I was like, I don't like this.
Oh well, no, I didn't like the relationship.
She was so nagging.
But the relationship. No, they were both. I mean, she was a saint compared to George.
Creepy dolls.
Yeah, but I mean, like their relationship was so wrong on every level. That's what was so great about it. Like, there's no way these two people should be together.
Yeah.
that was what was great about it. But the episode where they kill her off, she's licking the envelopes,
yes.
and George never wanted to get me. He was trying to figure out ways to get out of the marriage, so she dies, and they're all like, "You want to go some coffee?" Yeah, and I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, "Oh my god!" And then that's the ending. But then the button. Do you remember the button after that? So you think it's over, but then they do like the post credits like bit at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He calls up Marissa Tomei because at one point he could have gone out with Marissa Tomei if he weren't engaged.
Yeah. Like, I remember the whole Marissa Tomei thing.
A friend of Elaine's knew Marissa Tomei and said, oh, you're her type. She likes funny, quirky, bald guys. So now he's freaking out because he's engaged to Susan. He's trying to figure out how to break up with her so he can go out with Marissa Tomei. So immediately after she dies, immediately he calls up Marissa Tomei.
Oh, my gosh.
And he says, yeah, I don't know. I was just wondering. I'm not engaged anymore. And I'm not kidding. This is how it ends. I'm not engaged anymore. Yeah, I know. Well, listen. Tomorrow I've got the funeral, but then I'm free after that.
Oh, my
That's how the episode ended, and it's just, it's like, seriously? You're going there? Like, that's how dark you're going to get? That's total Larry David.
Yeah.
Total Larry David. So, yeah. Seinfeld. So, all the episodes are available on the Hulu. Speaking of the Hulu, have you caught up with, are you watching Difficult People?
No, I watched I think I'm three episodes in.
Okay, well, there's four total.
Okay, so then I'm almost done. I just haven't.
So far. So far. Yeah. But the last one, I watched it yesterday, and it's episode four of the season. You got to see it.
Yeah.
Amy Sedaris, Debbie Harry, Julianne Moore, Richard Kind are all on one episode.
Oh, they all come back? Are they all different characters?
Different characters.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we're going to see. Let's find out what's happening on the opening bell. And here's Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
I disagree with that soup Nazi thing, too, man. I can't believe it's that far down.
Yeah, it's funny. Crazy. Shit. It's a funny episode.